fake drugs. Stand by for action.
Good afternoon and welcome. It is Bob and Jeff on KFH. It's a Wednesday. It's not a Tuesday. It's a Wednesday. We're in the middle of the week. Bob has taken a midweek break. He stepped aside for the day to allow our good friend Jason Duda back into the fold. He's got his gray on. He's got a gray attitude. He's just kind of just gray. What's up?
He stepped out. No, he just wanted a day off. That's why I'm
Sometimes
here.
Sometimes people or he's just
got,
want days
he's
off.
He's got something going on. I know what's going on.
What's going on?
I don't know what's going on, but I know he didn't just step away.
You think
he
he's
just
got
wanted
something?
A day off, and so he's making it out, if that's what he said to you. He's making it out like, well, oh, no, I'll let Duda do this. No, Duda's fine. Whether he does or doesn't do the show,
quit
I'm good.
Quit being like that.
So just, I don't want to hear it.
Just show up.
I don't want
to
hear it.
Just show up and one time say, I'm happy to be here. I'm looking forward to doing the show. I'm glad I have this opportunity.
Okay.
Pretend like you care about something.
I love it.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
It makes everybody feel a lot better.
I can't wait to get the show going.
If they're going to invest an hour and 53 minutes in this show.
No, you're twisting everything.
They want the host to be engaged.
You are twisting everything because that isn't it.
What is it?
He wanted a day off for whatever reason, and that's why I'm here.
Well, you took
Let's
a day
just
off.
Be honest.
You took a day off yesterday. We could have played catch.
Oh, man. Maybe. Were you down there for sure?
No, he changed the venue, but at one point it was going to be Tuesday at the facility, and you turned us down.
I couldn't make it. I had stuff to do yesterday.
You did.
I apologize.
But I hear you're becoming more available by the week.
Yes.
That's amazing. We're going to be together tomorrow.
What?
What about Friday?
What about Friday?
I don't know why we wouldn't be doing a three-man booth on Friday.
I talked to your dad, man.
Because that's your game day. That's everybody loves our Friday shows.
Well, everybody loves Password.
Or something.
I mean, everybody loves Password.
Or something.
It is unbelievable.
I'm going to run down the show today because you are going to play
what?
Mediator.
Oh,
you're gonna play
I'm good at that. Yeah, that's right
on this
up my
show today.
I love it.
You usually play mediator between Bob and me.
Right.
Today you're going to be playing mediator between myself and a different person.
Oh, what person?
Not Bob. Pretty much my entire family.
Oh.
We'll get to that.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
We'll get to that in a second. I do want to run down the show today because it's a good one. At 2:25, we'll be joined by acclaimed best-selling author Joe Posnanski. Do you know that name?
No, I don't.
He worked for the Kansas City Star for a long time. He wrote for Sports Illustrated. He's written for other publications, The Athletic. Now he's on his own venture, Joe Blogs, which I subscribe to. It's fantastic.
Okay.
He has written a book called Why We Love Football, History in 100 Moments. And tomorrow night, Joe Posnanski will be here in Wichita.
Really?
At Watermark Books.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what he's going to do.
He's probably going to talk.
He's going to talk?
Well, that'd be my guess. I mean, I'm not that smart when it comes to books because I've unfortunately never read one, but I'm guessing he's here to talk about a book.
I'll help you out with questions.
Oh, that's good because I'll need it.
Yeah, we got a lot. There's a lot of stuff we can ask Joe. Joe's been around. He's authored several books, many that I've read.
Really?
And many that are very good.
So you'd consider yourself a fan?
I am a fan. If you can be a fan of a sports writer,
yeah,
then yeah, I'm a fan of Joe Posnanski.
That's very good.
And he is a fan of this show, apparently.
Really?
I guess.
That's even better.
This is going to be like the second time he's been on it.
He's been on it before.
He has.
Man. Can't wait.
When he was promoting Why We Love Baseball.
Why do you love baseball, Jeff?
There's a lot of reasons. Can't get into it right now.
Okay, yeah, we don't have time, probably.
No, we don't have time.
Because that would take a while.
It would. There's a lot of... And the Guardians made a trade today, and it's exciting.
Yeah. Well,
it's the least exciting trade anyone's ever made, but it's exciting to me.
I wasn't being sarcastic. I knew it would take a while.
How about that? At 3 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Mike Furches to talk some pop culture. We like him in the top of the hour slot. That 2:45 where we're just kind of shuffling him through, you know, so we can get to 3 o'clock.
Yeah, we don't like
it. That's disrespectful of his time and expertise and his pop culture prowess.
You are absolutely correct.
So we want him at 3 to talk pop culture. I don't know what we're going to do for the other 20 minutes of that segment, but we'll figure something out.
Oh, and then there's the shot. What a surprise.
No, I'm just saying.
You just had to give a little shot.
No, I meant... us, we're not the two biggest pop culture aficionados out there. Although we are both watching Matlock.
And is Is High Potential done?
High Potential.
Was that the season finale last Tuesday? Because it wasn't on last night.
That was the mid-season finale. It's coming back in January.
Oh, so they're done till January?
Yeah, isn't that crap?
That's brutal.
It's garbage. Man, we're going to talk about Matlock. Because I like it and I hate it. Does that make sense?
How do you hate it?
I don't like the second storyline.
I love the second storyline. I love it when they go to that. It's a short little clip. It's not that heavy. I love it.
It's always heavy.
Well, it's heavy, but it's not the main show. It's the background show.
And I don't like
which
her.
Is leading to the big ending.
Yeah, but I like the other characters more than I like her. And the other character, and I especially like the other characters more than I like the husband and the grandson. Oh my God, those two are insufferable.
You don't like those two?
No, I don't. And when she's around them, they bring her down. Who can bring down Kathy Bates?
They don't bring her down.
One of the great actresses of all time.
Nobody brings Kathy down.
The other actors, the attorneys, they bring her up. And she brings them up to her level.
They bring Kathy Bates up to their level? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she brings them up to her level.
Okay,
they all make each other better.
Okay, I can agree with that.
Right?
Yep.
And at 325, if we can find it in the system, Gunther, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, did you do that?
Yeah. Bothered me like 7 months ago, but we're running it today.
How was it? Was it exciting?
It was good stuff. Well, he's the world heavyweight champion of the world.
If it was so good, how come you haven't played it yet then?
Well, we were going to play it on the day we did it, which was last Thursday.
Right.
So it hasn't been that long. It might have been Wednesday, but I think it was Thursday.
Okay.
Then we interviewed John Feinstein, another best-selling, acclaimed sports writer, author, and that went a little long, so we didn't have time. We were going to run Gunther at 3:40. Didn't work out.
Well, that's too bad, but maybe we got him today.
Well, we might.
That's great.
If we can find it.
Gunther.
Out of the country.
Unknown.
Austria.
Oh, a lot of those guys used to be from parts unknown.
We don't do parts unknown very
much.
That's
too
bad.
I like parts unknown.
We're in a more reality-based product, which is just fine. You change with the times, right?
Did you say reality?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reality-based.
Fair enough.
Storylines that could be translated to real life. Real conflicts. Personal things. You
for
know
sure.
What you get it?
I'm following you.
Good guys, bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you're going to mediate.
Okay. What is going on here? I'm interested, though.
Here's the situation. Okay?
What's the situation? What happened?
We live out in the country.
Yes, I do.
You know, we get some critters crawling by every now and then.
Yes.
All sorts of critters. Deer, possums. We get raccoons out there. Obviously, we get your normal rabbits. Things like that.
Yeah.
The other day, my daughter was visiting from Kansas State, and she's going somewhere. So obviously, she goes outside. She's getting in her car. She sees a cat in our tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the decision was made until we could possibly find the owner or figure out if it's a stray and then maybe get it shots or, you know, begin to take care of it in some way.
Right.
Right? We put it in our shed, which is out kind of just in the yard. So we had him in our shed for a few days.
Okay.
Last night, we brought him into the home, into a little secluded part of the home, our washroom. He's got some space.
Yeah.
He's warm. He's freaking the heck out, but, you know, this is what cats do. And the situation that you need to mediate is my daughter believes, because she found the cat, that she now gets to keep it, take it to college, or take it to whenever she has an apartment or whatever. I contend, no, that cat lived at my house.
Ooh.
You don't just get to take it and leave it.
Right.
Or take it and leave, you know, I don't know what I'm saying. Take the cat and leave us empty-handed.
Gotcha.
So do you think I'm leaving anything out? Is there a piece of the story that's missing to you?
Well,
I want to make sure you have all the facts.
Okay.
And I want to make sure you're able to make an informed decision.
Okay, this sounds like a wild cat.
No, he's very friendly. He's extremely friendly.
Do you think he's been in a house before?
It's hard to say, but I wouldn't be surprised. But we got a hold of all the neighbors. It's none of their cat. So this cat was hanging out, I guess.
Well, maybe he was just living his best life outside.
He may have been.
So it might not be anybody's cat.
But now he has a home. And that home is my home.
Uh-huh. So you like the cat?
I do like the cat.
And how do the other cats like that
we
cat?
We haven't really introduced them
Ooh.
Yet. But they know, because he hasn't been fixed, he hasn't gotten
right.
shots, we don't want to expose them to anything potentially dangerous. So he's going to stay away from them for a while. After we get him to the vet and all taken care of, then we'll slowly start to integrate him with the other cats. We've named him Bernie.
Oh, Bernie?
After Bernie Mac.
Oh, I was thinking Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's, too.
Because he just kind of spent the weekend.
Yeah, he did. You know? That's fair.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll sell that.
Okay.
Kid hates the name and thinks it's her cat.
Mm.
What do you think?
Does she realize what it's going to take care of a cat if she was to take him to college? Or if
I offered to buy her a cat or two from the Humane Society, and everybody has a cat, everybody's happy, everybody wins. She said, no, I want this cat.
She's rebelling.
She's doing something.
She's rebelling because she feels like that's just what she wants.
Right.
That's what she's doing.
Yeah, she's trying to play to emotions.
Yeah.
And I'm the one who gets yelled at by
the other
parent.
Yeah.
Right? You're being out of line. All I'm doing is arguing facts.
Well,
right?
what does your wife think about the situation?
She thinks, again, well, if she wasn't right, or if you were right, I'd be on your side. But she doesn't think I'm right.
So she doesn't think
you're
right.
She says I'm being out of line, but I'm not being out of line. I'm arguing the facts.
Well, is the
cat has a home. It was found on our property.
I was going to ask that. Where was it? Was the tree that the cat was found in on your property?
Yes, it was in our yard.
So let's see. We're going to have to find somebody about the rules about if it's in your yard on your property. Isn't that considered yours?
You would
think. Or is it not? Is it because could I come out and just say, hey, I like that car you got over there. I think I'm going to keep it.
Not to mention, we don't know when she's going to be in a living situation that, exactly, a living situation that could withstand a cat, could accommodate a cat, right? So we're going to take this cat into our home, let it out, introduce it to all the other cats, feed it, take care of it, nurture it, love it, and then just someday, oh, by the way, this is her cat, so it's gone now.
You can't do that to the cat.
You can't do that to the cat.
You can't do that to the cat. I'm sorry. That's where I stand on that. If you're going to introduce it to the family and give it a family, then just say, hey, yeah, see you later. Can't do that.
You can't do it. And no. My wife's argument again is, well, the kid comes home, so the cat will be coming back too. No, that's even worse. You're going to confuse the cat. Where do I live?
Doesn't know.
Do I live here with these people and these cats, or do I live with this person and no cats?
No, I think this would have been great to argue with you because I could have really got you going, but I'm kind of on your side on this. Devil's advocate could have been really fun.
Well, do it. Play the devil. See, I want to know because when we were arguing and it was over text mostly, obviously, I get it. I'm not going to belittle anybody, but the kid's argument was all emotion, right? I'm upset about this. This is, you know, it's an emotional argument. Mine was facts, and obviously, because I'm being a little more direct and a little more firm, I get yelled at and I get called out. But help me understand the other side. Just because you found it?
It's not your cat, is it? It wasn't yours.
No.
I found this cat and tried to help it in order to save it. And so why wouldn't you let me keep it? Because if I wouldn't, you wouldn't have the cat anyway.
I guess that's an argument.
It's an argument, yeah. You wanted one, here it is.
That's the argument.
I mean, it's not yours. You didn't have it. You would have never known it was there. I found it. I wanted to help it. I wanted to take care of it. So I got out of the tree. We took it down. We've been taking care of him. I wanted to take him with me.
I left.
But I want to take him with me.
Hmm.
Why can't I take him with me? Or else you would have never had that cat anyway. He probably ran to the neighbor's house.
Maybe. We're very accommodating. We feed stray cats, the other neighbor cat, who does belong to someone, so we can't keep it and take care of it. As far as we know, it belongs to someone. It doesn't seem like it. But his name's Tater Tot. He's a good kid. He's an orange guy. And we feed him all the time. And
yeah.
He hangs out at our house, and you know, but it's not our cat. This is our cat hanging out at our house.
But it wasn't your cat. It was your daughter's cat who brought it to you. And to let you know.
Really,
well, I'm playing the other side right now because I can see the other side.
It's tough.
So as that, I would say it's my cat because I'm the one that helped. I'm the one that got it. I'm the one that helped save it. Why am I not being able to take it with me? If I want to take it with me. If not, let me put it back in the tree and see what happens.
Who's providing the food and shelter for this cat?
Well, she would be.
But who is now?
Well, you were at the time, but as a parent, wouldn't you do that for somebody else?
Not for another adult.
For another animal or a person, if someone was in trouble and your daughter was bringing them back, saying, hey, I just want to help out here for a little bit, and then I'm decide what I want to do, would you not help? Or would you say no?
I would assume my help.
If it was a dog or a cat or a person.
I would assume my help and my financial contributions and my emotional attachment.
Then if you don't, if you don't,
it's my cat.
If you don't want to, because of the financial stress it may put on the family, you say, no, I'm sorry, we can't do that.
No, I can do it. That's my point.
But what that's what I'm saying.
I can handle the financial stress.
But you're helping.
The kid cannot.
You're helping your daughter, though, right now, right?
I guess.
Are you going to kick her to the curb?
Perhaps.
Oh, well, see, that's a different story. And we all know you're not.
She doesn't live with us.
We all know you're not going to.
She lives in the dorm. She's already on the curb.
Yeah, she lives in the dorm. So my argument on the other side would be, why wouldn't I keep the cat? I found the cat. I helped the cat. Yes. I was at your house when this was going on. But if I wasn't here, the cat wouldn't be there as it is. So why can't I keep the cat? Because I found it.
Or just somebody else would have found it.
Does possibly.
Luck, does luck play into this? Does sheer timing? She doesn't live there. She was going out. She happened to see a cat.
Yeah.
Does that mean?
Did she see the cat and just drive by, say, see ya?
No.
She got out in order to help the cat, maybe thinking, oh, I might want to take care of this cat. This might be, maybe it could be my cat. If it's nobody else's cat and it's roaming around, it needs a home, I want to help it. Right now, I'm at my parents' house, so we obviously would have to keep it at my parents' house. Is that wrong?
She already has a cat among our four cats. She has a cat who is extremely attached to her, and she is attached to it. The argument for not taking this cat is that this cat's 14 years old and just wouldn't be probably right in a lot of ways. Wouldn't be feasible.
Okay, so now she has another one.
Or she can just take the one I buy for her.
It sounds like you're emotionally attached to this cat, so you're wanting to keep it.
I'm emotionally attached to every cat.
I know, but we're talking about this cat.
Uh-huh.
What happened was you got attached to the cat, and so you don't really want to let it go. You don't lie.
I don't.
You don't care?
No, I don't want to let it go. That's
exactly.
Correct.
Exactly.
I'm bringing facts here, as I said I was.
So on the other side of it, is she doing this because she knows you're attached to it? Just to play little rebel?
No, I don't think so.
So she loves the cat?
I guess.
Well, then why wouldn't
you? But we all love the cat.
Yeah, but she found the
cat. And the cat loves all of us.
So why not let her keep it?
Because it lives at my house.
Because you want the cat when it comes down to it.
Because its current living situation involves my care, my shelter, my love and affection.
But it hasn't even been introduced to the other cats yet.
Not yet.
So this is why you should have let her take it.
It could be.
I don't know why you wouldn't have let her take it.
I thought you were on my side.
I'm playing the other side.
Okay, well, I thought you were supposed to mediate. I've paid you $1,000.
You did?
To offer your professional opinion.
Well, most mediators, if you'd have paid me $1,000, I'd have done what you wanted.
But it was an anonymous $1,000. You didn't know who's coming from. These are nameless, faceless people.
Right.
Who gets the cat? The person who found it or the person who housed it?
Well, I just told you my.
I gave you both sides. For my wife, I can skip the part.
I just played both sides. You can pick. As a mediator, I've made good points on both sides.
But a mediator.
You haven't introduced the cat to the rest of the cats yet.
But so they know he's there.
But they might not get along. And if that's the case, then you don't want that cat.
Then we got
you're
a
not
problem.
Ruining the other four. So instead, why don't you just knock it out and let her take it and see how it goes?
I don't think you're on my side. This is getting a little out of hand with you playing that side.
This is what I'm doing. I'm playing the other side.
I don't know.
You asked me to.
I need a final decision.
Well, ask Max. Maybe Max has the final decision.
Max, what's the final decision, assuming you've been listening to him?
Oh, he's been listening. I know he has.
What do you think? What you say goes.
She lives in the dorm?
Yes. She might have an apartment next semester, but she
also dorms?
I think.
Really? That surprises me.
I think you have to sign waivers and stuff like that.
I don't think it's good for
the
cat to be in a dorm.
Yeah. No.
Like, I know I played both sides here, but If she had her own apartment, different story. In a dorm, I don't think I wouldn't let my daughter's going to K-State next year, and I don't think I would allow her to have.
So again, we're talking next August when we got to take this cat away. That's not right.
No, if it's at your house that long, then I would say no.
Okay.
But as of right now, if she had her own place up there, her own apartment, you know, share an apartment with roommates, whatever. I think it's okay. In a dorm, I wouldn't want to be in a dorm room when someone brought a cat in, and then it's in my dorm as well.
Plus, to terrorize the cat when the partying's going on.
Or anything. So yeah, I don't agree with having a pet in a dorm. I guess that's where I'm at.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe lots of people have done that. Does she have roommates in her dorm room?
That's another whole story. Her roommate's moving out, so I don't know what her situation is.
Okay. But in the dorm, I would say no.
All right.
That's where I'm at. If she had her own place, I would say yes.
Let's take a break.
And I also think that it's maybe a little bit more her cat because she found it.
That's not what you said.
I'm very confused. Oh, it is.
Confused.
Well, I've been on both sides here. I'm playing the advocate. I told you the rest of the segment I was going to play the other side.
When you advocate for both, you advocate for nobody.
I told you what I've advocated for.
Okay. Let's take a break. We got Joe Posnanski on the other side. He's got a new book out called Why We Love Football. He's in Wichita tomorrow. We'll talk to him about those things. Stay with us, Bob and Jeff on KFH.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Happy to be joined by a best-selling author of many books. His new one is called Why We Love Football, A History in 100 Moments. Tomorrow he'll be here in Wichita at Watermark Books at 6 o'clock. It's Joe Posnanski. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. So you had the book Why We Love Baseball, which was fantastic. And in that book, you talked about how when you ask people that question, there's a lot of answers. They're long answers. When you ask people why we love football, is that an easier question to answer for people, do you think?
Yes, it is. I think probably an easier answer because I think it's much more from the gut, you know, much more emotional when you ask people that. But I also think the answers are all over the place. I mean, they're just, you know, in baseball, almost always the answer seems to be some kind of, you know, going back to their childhood, some connection to family, some connection to, you know, something that they thought about, you know, baseball cards or something when they were 10. And you ask people that question about football, and it might be because they love their fantasy team. It might be because they love the Chiefs. It might be because, you know, they've got money on the game. It might be because, you know, they went to Alabama. I mean, it could be like 5 million different things. So that definitely made the book a little bit different, or actually a lot different to write.
Well, and it's funny you brought that up because obviously with football, and you mentioned fantasy football, it's kind of taken over the NFL when you really think about it, and it's probably why it's grown to be what it is. Do you have anything in the book about fantasy football? Is there a chapter in there? And also, what exactly did you find out about it that might be interesting for us?
Well, I touch on it several times in the book. I don't have a very specific chapter about it because I think everybody has different feelings about, you know, fantasy football and their teams. And I mean, it's a very personal thing. I think that what's interesting about it is, I mean, a lot of things, but obviously where football's base is, I mean, you know, I'm in Kansas City, as you mentioned, I'll be in Wichita tomorrow, excited to come. But you're here, you're in Green Bay, you're in Buffalo, you're in Cleveland, you're in Detroit, so many other, you know, 32 other places or whatever. It's all surrounding that one team. And yet when it comes to fantasy football, it's all surrounding very, very individual teams. And so you've got people in in Wisconsin watching the Dolphins game because they've got Tua as their quarterback, or you know, you've got somebody in Salina, you know, watching the Browns because you've got the Browns defense or whatever. Which, by the way, don't do that if you're in Salina. But you know, the point is that it's very personal, and football has gotten into people's lives in ways that that you know nothing else in America has. I mean, not just sports. I mean, football is by far the biggest thing in America right now. And you know, that's, I think, because of the so many different ways that you can enjoy it.
Talking with author Joe Posnanski, whose new book is called Why We Love Football. One of the reasons why we here in Wichita love football, at least before the Chiefs became dynastic, was, of course, Barry Sanders, yeah, who's from Wichita. I know you have a chapter about him, I think, in your book. I started reading it. But you did not rate him among the 10 best players in the history of the NFL. And we don't look kindly upon stuff like that here in Wichita. So explain yourself, Joe.
Well, yeah, I was going to say the good news is that I'm already used to this with the Baseball 100. There's never a place I go where people aren't mad at me for something that I've done. Look, I only rank the 10 greatest, and there are already two running backs in there, but I've said this, I say this in the book. Barry Sanders is the single most exciting player to ever play professional football or college football for that matter. I don't think there's ever been a player who could make your jaw drop the way that Barry Sanders could. He was absolutely breathtaking and brilliant in so many ways. And of course, and he retired young. You know, he retired in his prime, and a lot like Jim Brown in that way. And kind of disappeared, right? And now he's, you know, the movie just came out about him, the 30 for 30, and you know, you'll see him on a couple of commercials now and again. But he's just an extraordinary figure, and it was so much fun to write about him. And he absolutely could have been in the top 10, but he wasn't. You know, that's just sort of that's a problem with only doing 10 in a top 10.
True.
How long does it take you to write a book like this? Like, for me, just to sit and think about how much you have to do and how much you have to write, just to give us a little rundown on how you decided to get to it, and then where did you go to get all the information? How many people did you talk to? Just to give us a bit of a rundown, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, not at all. For me, it's very interesting because the actual writing of the book and even the research, which I do at the same time, that doesn't take very long. It really doesn't. I work very, very quickly. So I'll write, you know, for a book like this, there are days that I've wrote multiple chapters on the same day. So, I mean, I do write very quickly. For me, it's designing the book in my mind, coming up exactly with what the book is, exactly what these moments are, exactly where these moments are going to go. That takes a long time. So that was months and months of just prep work and thinking about it. And this book was, it had a lot of different shapes and a lot of different sizes. As far as the research goes, I've talked to a bunch of people. I couldn't give you a number necessarily, but a whole bunch of people. And of course, in a lot of ways, this book, like the baseball book, is a lifetime of work. I mean, I've obviously been writing about football for 35 years. So you know, I've talked to countless people during that time that play a role in this book. There's a Priest Holmes chapter as an example, and as a guy that I covered at length when he was with the Chiefs back in the early 2000s. But a lot of the research I do is very much going back to the archives, going to the newspapers. I spent a week at NFL Films watching the old videos of these plays and really diving into the research that they have, which is incredible, the research they have over at NFL Films in New Jersey there. So for me, it's a lot like that. I want to be able to feel every moment like it was new, like it just happened. And you know, the best way to do that is to go back and read the old newspaper clippings, to read the old Sports Illustrated pieces, to watch the old videos, and you know, really live those moments as best I can.
Talking with Joe Posnanski, his new book is called Why We Love Football. It is out now. So you were a big Cleveland Browns fan. I'm a huge Cleveland Guardians fan. So, you know, a few years ago, I decided, okay, I'll kind of enjoy the Browns in passing. And once they signed Deshaun Watson, that was it. I don't care about the Browns anymore. You jumped off for a minute. You're sort of back on now. I read your Browns diary every Monday. Obviously, it's a much more cynical view of the Browns than it was 3 or 4 years ago. But what is your experience now watching the Cleveland Browns?
Well, it's definitely not the same experience as it was. You know, and it's funny because the Browns, I mean, there are many chapters to being a Browns fan. None of them with a good ending, but many chapters anyway. So yeah, for years, when I first started doing this diary that I do for my newsletter that you mentioned, they were terrible. I mean, they literally went winless, you know, in 18, I guess, and were 1-15 the year before, and they kept their coach through both of those seasons. I mean, it was just hopeless. And so it felt funny to me. I mean, it was obviously rough as a fan, but at some point it becomes so bad that you just kind of like, with every week it was a joy to just kind of recap the madness, you know. And then they got decent, you know, they went to the playoffs, they got Baker Mayfield, and that was fun, and then, you know, they kind of started falling off, and then the Deshaun Watson thing happened, and I felt like you. I was like, well, that's it, I'm done with them. But, you know, when you're a fan for 50 years of a team, it's hard to be done with them. And I didn't want them to win necessarily, but I found that I couldn't care about anybody else the way I cared about the Browns. And now, you know, writing about them, of course, Watson is hurt. It feels like there's a possibility that he's just done with the Browns. I mean, certainly hope so. And so I'm watching them, and I'm, you know, kind of getting a little bit back into it, kind of rooting for them. But I mean, it's definitely different. But I think everybody goes through those different phases. I mean, obviously the team I've been closest to for the last 20 plus years are the Chiefs, and you know, that's a team that's obviously had the same, you know, there were very difficult periods of time for rooting for that team. There was that whole stretch of time where they were good but not good enough, and that was really frustrating. And now, of course, they're the, you know, the toast of the NFL. So I think that's how it feels to be a fan, is you just kind of go up and down with what your team is doing at the moment.
No question. So tell us about tomorrow night's event here at Watermark Books. 6:00 it starts. What should we expect? Because I do have tickets for that, Joe.
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we'll talk some of the book, but we're really going to talk about everything. I mean, you know, it's obviously every one of these events, and they've been so fun. I've been doing them all over the country, and you know, it's. I'll talk a little bit. I'll tell a few stories, but then it's open up to questions and talk about anything. Talk about baseball. Talk about football. Talk about college football. Talk about anything anybody wants to talk about. And we go into some pretty fun places. And you know, a whole bunch of family members are going to be there, so it's gonna have a good family feel there in Wichita. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm curious on, you know, for a guy that's really doesn't read a lot, you know, you talk and you hear about people that they get a book and they're going on a book tour and they're going to sign. How long does this take? How long do you do it for? And where do you go? Like, it's got to take up a ton of time, but it's something you have to do, correct?
It is. I mean, honestly, I mean, I'll be brutally honest about the book business. There aren't many people who get to go on book tours like this anymore. I mean, it is brutally, brutally hard these days in the publishing business, just because, you know, their bookstores are, you know, they're coming back a little bit. But I mean, obviously, there are fewer bookstores, certainly fewer national book chains. There's really only the one. I mean, there's Books a Million as well, but they're mostly Barnes and Noble. Most books get sold on Amazon. It's just a different business. So the opportunity to do this, and for me, I think Wichita is going to be my 20th or 26th city on this tour.
Wow.
which is amazing and exhausting and all of those things that you think it would be. But it's incredible that, like, that doesn't happen. It really doesn't happen anymore for very many people. And so I feel incredibly lucky and, you know, coming out, you know, people who come out to these events, I want them to have a good time, because I mean, it's very much a real gift to be able to travel around the country and talk about your book. I mean, that's what it's all about, is getting people to, you know, engaged and hopefully, you know, you and I've gotten to meet so many incredible people, and they've told me incredible stories that are going to lead up to other stories. And so it's really a blast. And again, I mean, for me, this is coming home, right? So I'm coming to Kansas City tonight. There's an event at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum here in Kansas City that I'm going to be at, which will be great fun. And then hop in the car with my wife, head back to Wichita for her. It's homecoming, and it's going to be a blast.
So are you doing these like every 2 days, every day? 'Cause this is crazy. This is 26. Have you been just on the road for the last 2.5 months?
I've been on the road more or less for the last 2.5 months. I've had a week or two in there that were not too bad. But at the beginning, like the first 3 weeks, I think I hit like 15 cities in the first 3 weeks. So, I mean, literally that was every single day. It was just, I was going from, I can tell you the very first part of it was I started in New York, and then I was in Washington, Nashville, Kansas City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Winston-Salem. I mean, it was like every day I was going to a new place. So that's intense and a lot. But again, you know, all you can do is be thankful, because I mean, like I said, very, very few people get that kind of tour anymore.
I promise we're going to let you go. You've been extremely gracious with your time, but since you'll only get this question about 6,000 other times, I will ask you, when do we get why we love basketball?
that is a question that I do get a lot. I can tell you I'm working on my next book. I can't really talk about my next book yet, because we're hoping to have a big reveal. I can tell you I'm writing it with somebody else, and not a celebrity. I mean, well, he's sort of a celebrity, but we're co-writing a book together, and it's going to be, we're in the middle of it right now, and it's going to be so much fun, and there's going to be basketball in it. There's going to be lots and lots of different kinds of sports in it, and it's going to be, it's completely different. It's completely different from the Why We Love series, but it's I think it's going to be really, really great fun for people.
Joe, thanks. I won't tell Mike Scherer you called him not a celebrity.
But actually, you know what? Tell him he's not a celebrity. I don't care what he says. He can tell me he's a celebrity as many times as he wants. I'm not buying it.
Fair enough. We appreciate it, Joe. Thanks so much. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. See ya. That was great.
That was good.
Yeah.
You got tickets? Are you going?
Of course.
Well, obviously you're going.
I need to find somebody to go with. My wife will be out of town. You want to go?
No, thanks.
What? Imagine if you had said that on the air.
It's a book thing. It's not my thing.
Yeah, but he's just going to talk about sports. That's what we do here.
Exactly. So I have 2 hours and then another 2 hours? That's lots.
Maybe an hour. All right, whatever.
We'll see. We'll see.
Do what you want to do.
We'll see. Probably not, but we'll see.
All right.
With all due respect, of course, it's just not my thing. How many Springfields are there in the United States?
We did this game a few weeks ago.
What?
Max against Bob. I gave them the city name. They had to tell me how many cities or what states that city was in. But it had to be a population of at least 20,000. And I think Springfield, there were six.
That's it?
For 20,000?
Where is, so have we figured out if where Homer lives, Springfield what?
No.
Did they come up with it? They've never come up with that, have they?
No, I thought they did an episode.
It was on an episode when you could see like four states have bordered it. Maine, Nevada. It was something ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't really tell exactly what state it was. Or could you? I don't know. 67 populated places in the United States named Springfield. However, the U.S. Board on Geographic Names says that only 34 states have a Springfield.
So there's multiple Springfields in multiple states, probably.
Probably
just
not.
Basic math.
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, if only 34 states have it and there's 60 what?
No.
No what?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly
know if that's what that meant or not. I didn't know if, I don't know if 67 and 34 is what that meant.
Well, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Do you know which Springfield basketball was invented in?
No.
Massachusetts.
Old Massachusetts.
Yeah.
No, never would have guessed
Springfield,
that.
Mass. Do you know who invented basketball?
Oh, the Canadian dude.
Was he Canadian?
Yeah. Oh, it was basketball was invented in Canada. I got
that Springfield. No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Check it.
He was not invented in Canada.
It was invented in Canada.
No.
Yeah, we were the ones that figured out how to cut the bottom out of the baskets.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that was a smart move.
I got the Springfield thing.
It was easier than climbing a ladder every time to get the ball back.
That's true. What, Max?
Here's a Simpson Springfield thing.
Oh.
You can see the four states that border Springfield: Ohio, Nevada, Maine, and Kentucky.
Ohio and Kentucky border one another, so maybe they're onto something there.
Could be.
Kentucky's just a fun state to say. Do you know where James Naismith coached?
In college. Kansas.
Yeah, he was the first coach of the University of Kansas.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? The inventor of the game later went on to coach it, and he coached it at KU, of all places.
Who'd have thought?
It's wild.
Who'd have thought? There was a 30 for 30 on that. Did you ever watch it?
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, there was some. There was a short, I think it was a 30 for 30.
It was on like an original rules, right?
Yeah, and they bought this. Somebody was there and they went and bought all the original paperwork.
Yeah, like the rules of the game.
Something like that.
Does Allen Fieldhouse have those?
I don't know. That's where I was going. It's just, if you knew that by chance, I would think they would be there, right? I thought they bought them to donate them to the school. It was actually a kind of interesting episode.
They are on display at the DeBruce Center as of 2016. It's a new student visitor center at the University of Kansas. And that's where the original rules of basketball are housed. Not at Allen Fieldhouse, but we were close.
We're right.
We didn't embarrass ourselves.
We're in the vicinity.
Yeah, we were in Lawrence.
That's
in
all we want. If we're in the same vicinity. Campus. As long as we're in the vicinity, we're good.
KU, by the way, played last night.
They won last night.
KU beat UNC Wilmington. Do you know who beat? Do you know who K-State beat?
No, they were playing somebody
terrible.
They were favored by almost 40, I think.
Yeah, and they only won by like 18. They were trailing in the second half.
What?
To Mississippi Valley State University, one of the worst programs. Do you know who Mississippi Valley State's only victory in college basketball this season is?
The Sexsmith Secondary School.
It's basically that. It's almost worse. When I tell you who Mississippi Valley State beat in basketball, you won't believe it. This will be beyond your comprehension.
UCLA.
Who is it?
No. It's nothing. It's nobody like that.
Do I know them?
No,
like, I probably don't know.
It's on the complete opposite end of the spectrum of a team like UCLA.
Well, who is it? I don't know then. How am I supposed to guess that?
You're not. But once I need to build it up. Because once I tell you...
Well, is it a high school?
No.
Was it like early on?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. What is it? Like, could it be... Did they play... Okay, so this has got to be something goofy. Now I'm kind of interested.
A community college.
Was it a community college?
It's a Division III school.
Division III school.
They're called...
Was it women?
It is, sort of.
Is it really?
No, but they beat the Mississippi University for Women.
So...
But they have men there.
Okay.
And men play basketball at the Mississippi University. Would that be a good recruiting pitch? Hey, you come play at the University for Women? Because obviously there's going to be a lot of women at that college. Or does someone say, hey, we want you to come play at the University for Women, and you get punched in the face? Which is it? I could go either way with that.
That's interesting. It's kind of like flip a coin.
It's D3?
It's Division III.
Division III.
They don't even have scholarships.
So they're just all walk-ons, the guys that are out there watching the women's game, and they're like, hey, let's throw a men's team together? Is that this team?
You want to know who the Mississippi Women's College beat?
A men's team.
I'm
just rolling with it
here. They beat Pensacola Christian College. You want to know who they beat? We can do this.
Who,
forever.
Pensacola Christian College?
Yeah, who did they beat?
That's tongue twister there. They beat a women's a varsity high school team.
They beat Appalachian Bible College, 83-42.
I would have guessed Pontius Pilate, you, but
you know who?
My nephew went to Pensacola Christian, so hold on.
No, there you go.
Really?
Yes.
You have family everywhere. I think you're just making that up. Don't do that.
Let's put $100 on it and see.
Do you know who Appalachian Bible College beat?
Who?
I don't know. They don't have their schedule updated.
They don't even have a schedule. They don't
they
even have a website.
Schedule, but they don't have the score.
They don't even have a website, probably.
They have the addresses of the colleges they play against, but they don't have any scores.
That's odd.
But once I show you the picture of the Appalachian Bible College team, it's mesmerizing.
Is it?
It is. That's a basketball team, Mike.
Looks like a junior high team. Especially the coach.
Yeah, it's bad.
I love it. Good stuff.
We're going to take a break.
Are we? Because this is good. We're rolling good with this.
But we don't know who Appalachian Bible College beat.
So it ruined it. It's done.
It did ruin it. You got to update your schedule. They played Boyce College.
We need to call them during the break.
They play Boyce College tomorrow.
Boyce College.
Boyce.
Boyce.
B-O-Y-C-E.
Old Boyce College.
Let's see who they beat.
They got a hockey team.
They do?
I don't know.
Boyce College men's basketball. I'm going to tell you real quick.
Is that a D3 or D7? What are we at?
They're 0-3. They lost to Alice Lloyd, Ohio Christian, and Grace Christian. Too bad.
It's disappointing. 0-3. Tough start for the kids. Hopefully they bounce back.
I'm sure they will. We'll come back and talk to Mike Furches about pop culture to start our number two. Mike is in some festive gear today, but we can't say why. Stay with us, Bob and Jeff on KFH.